The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Is this the only day of salvation? Let's get real, as the young people say. What is really going to happen, my friends, to the billions of people out there who have never believed in Jesus Christ? Will they burn in hell forever? Will they just die quietly? Is there some other way for these billions to obtain eternal life? This is a question the religions and the theologians of this world cannot answer. But I will now make the answer plain. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, is this the only day of salvation? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
What really is going to happen to the billions of people in China, in India, in Indonesia, for instance, who have never believed in any form of Christianity? What is going to happen to old Uncle Joe here in the United States, who always got drunk on Saturday night and never attended church? What about the weak people? They attended church, but they never really honored God. They never really had Christ living within them. They never were real Christians in their actions at all. Think about it, my friends. Here's a question that has puzzled ministers and theologians for centuries, yet none of them have come up with a real answer. Listen, you check up with me right now in your Bible. I challenge you to do that. I really want you to this time. Please get your Bible, if you can get one there where you are. Some of you truck drivers can't, or others perhaps, but go get your Bible. Check up on me in your own Bible, wherever you are, if you can get a Bible. Prove this out of your Bible. This is a question that has puzzled people for thousands and hundreds of years. It really has. Turn in your Bible to see what Jesus Christ actually says and what His servant said in writing the New Testament. Acts 4, verse 10 in your Bible. Here it says, "Let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel." The Apostle Peter is preaching here, and he says, "Let this be known to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," notice, the name of Christ, "whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." Now notice, "nor is there salvation," Peter said, "in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." No other name except that of Jesus Christ. Yet very few humans have ever truly believed in the Jesus Christ of the Bible. The Old Testament people living back at that time, not just the Israelites, but all those other nations, they didn't know about Him. Most of the Israelites didn't know about Him either, except a few prophets who looked ahead and saw as they were guided by God's Spirit. The vast majority of humans since that time have never believed in any form of Christianity. They've been off in Israel, they've been off, in China and India and places like that. They never believed in any form of Christianity. And many people here in the United States who attend church are hypocrites. You know that. They don't practice any form of Christianity. They just go to church because it's a social thing. It's a good business connection or whatever it is. Are the vast majority of human beings then lost forever? Notice chapter 10 of the book of John, chapter 10, verse 1. Here is Christ speaking directly. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, through some other religion, some other name, some other philosophy, some new age idea or whatever, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." And who is that? And how is that? He says down in verse 7, "Then Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Christ is that door, only through Christ. He's the only name given among men under heaven, Jesus said, or Peter said, through whom we can get eternal life. "I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Well, Confucius came before Christ, Buddha came before Christ, and others. Notice what he says, they are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. And they kill and steal in the sense of cutting people off from God. If nothing more than that, they confuse people. They cause people not to understand this book. They cause people not to understand the Creator God. They've got false gods out there that are not the real God. But he said they come to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And Jesus Christ is the only one who's ever done that. Jesus Christ is the Son of the great God who made the heavens and the earth, who flung out the stars, who created everything that is. He is God, and he is the Son of God. And he's the one who paid the penalty of our sins. No one else did that. And he tells us about the true God. And only through Jesus Christ can we come to God. Yet professing Christianity has always been a minority religion. It's never been the majority of people on this earth. All the people around the earth in areas like Africa and India and China and Indonesia, the fourth largest country, Japan, all these other countries, the Muslims around the world, you know that. They don't believe in any form of Christianity. Are other religions doomed? What's going to happen to these people? Turn to Acts chapter 10 now. Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, or he said, as the words in the King James, is not a respecter of persons. God is not a respecter of persons. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. But that's the whole key. Fear who? Fears God. Fears the God of the Bible. Has the deep awe and respect for the God of the Bible. And as other scriptures show us, comes to God through Jesus Christ. Turn now to Romans chapter 2. He says here in verse 10, we're going to receive glory, honor, peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. God is no respecter of persons, as the King James translates this. If you serve God and are converted from any background, he will bless you. He is no respecter of persons. But if God is no respecter of persons, what about the fact that God has blinded, he himself says he has blinded the vast majority of humanity? We find this, and I've given you this a number of times, back in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Now maybe God doesn't know what he's talking about. Maybe he doesn't really deceive the whole world. He just deceives a few Hindus or Buddhists over here. Is that what you think? Most people don't understand this. They can't face the fact that the vast majority of people, even here in this Western world, are deceived. They have never known the true God. They have never known this book. Article after article have been coming out in various magazines telling us, of course, about surveys they made, religious surveys, where the vast majority of Americans say they believe in God. But when you pin them down, what kind of God do they believe in? They're not sure. They're all mixed up. And again, the vast majority of them don't understand the Bible. The vast majority never really studied the Bible. The vast majority cannot even name half of the Ten Commandments. They don't even know. They don't understand. This book is a great mystery to them because they don't read it. They don't know the God of this book. They don't know the God of the Bible. They are deceived. They are in a world that talks about God, that talks about Christianity, but in fact has a different religion from the religion of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul, writing under inspiration, says, but even if our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, they're not perished yet, but they are perishing, their life is going away and they're cut off from God until God calls them, whose minds the God of this age, or as the King James says, the God of this world, this age is the technically correct translation, this present 6,000-year period before Christ comes, the God of this age has blinded. They are blinded. They don't know. They don't understand. They have been blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. They don't understand because they've been blinded, even though they live in a so-called Christian nation. They don't get it. But is that fair? Since they don't believe in the true Christ, are they cut off forever? Are they going to perish? Are they going to burn? What's going to happen to these people who've never really been converted? The vast majority of humanity. Is God really fair? What is the genuine answer? At this point, I invite you to call or write for our brand new booklet entitled, Is This the Only Day of Salvation? This booklet will really spell out the genuine answer to this question that has puzzled theologians and ministers for centuries. Yet this very interesting booklet will be sent to you absolutely free upon your request. It will help you understand this question. It will make it plain. And you can check up on it and study it in the Bible and prove and really understand what's going to happen to old Uncle Joe. What's going to happen to the people over in all these nations that don't know God and never have believed in any form of Christianity. And again, we will automatically send you a free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Same name as this program. It's a beautiful magazine. So call or write today and ask for your free copy of this booklet, Is This the Only Day of Salvation?
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic. We have proved from the Bible that Christ is the only way to salvation. There isn't any other way. Yet, of course, God shows us, and we understand from human affairs, that most people have never believed in the true God. They are blinded. And yet the Bible also says that God is no respecter of persons. How can He blind people so they do not understand and yet hold them accountable? What's the answer? What's the answer to this dilemma that has puzzled theologians for centuries? The real answer to this problem is that God is not trying to save all human beings at this time. I know that goes against the ideas of mainstream Protestantism and Catholicism and Western Christianity. They think God is in a desperate effort to save everybody right now. They think that God is kind of like the old faithful hound dog, following people around, just following around, hoping they'll be saved, hoping they'll be saved. Give your heart to the Lord now, they say, while the opportunity's here. Well, God is not trying to do that, my friends. If God were trying to save all humanity, He would do it. One of God's names is El Shaddai, which means God Almighty. He would save humanity if He were trying to save humanity, but He's not trying to do that. Please understand, He is the God of all power, and He's not trying to save humanity, or He would do it. Timing is the key. When is God going to try to save all humanity? That's the key to this problem. Professing Christians who've been deceived on this and many other subjects will immediately argue it wouldn't be fair to give people a second chance. People are so upset that somebody might be given a second chance. But notice, I didn't say anything about a second chance. I am only talking about a genuine first opportunity for salvation based on an understanding of what salvation is all about. And most people don't understand that either. They think you just give your heart to the Lord and that's it. And salvation is not about that. But I'm talking about a first genuine opportunity to know the God of heaven and to know the Jesus Christ of the Bible. The answer lies in what Jesus told the people of His day about the ancient pagans who rejected the God of Israel. What about these blinded hundreds of millions and perhaps billions of people down through time all over the earth who never knew about the true God? And what about those who are alive today? Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 20. Then Jesus began to upbraid the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which are done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, in sackcloth and ashes. What is Jesus saying? He's saying that if those ancient pagan cities who never believed in Christ, never believed in the God of the Bible, Tyre and Sidon, if they had had an opportunity for real Christianity to be preached to them, they would have repented. Jesus said that. That's what he said. How can you answer that, my friends? Is God fair? God has got to give those people an opportunity. God has got to give those people a real opportunity they never had. And Jesus clearly indicates he knows, and God his Father knows, they never had such an opportunity, or they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you, Jesus told those people who were rejecting him and planning to kill him, as a matter of fact, which they later did do, because they also were blinded. They did not understand. But think about it. He talks here about a time of judgment, and he says it will be more tolerable for you in the day of judgment than for them. This is a big subject, but there is coming a time of a day of judgment. Judgment does not always mean the passing out of a sentence. Judgment often means a trying and testing process. And there's going to be a day when people are going to really understand and be tried and tested based on the knowledge they have, knowledge they don't now have, but the knowledge they will have at that time. They will be given a first genuine opportunity to know the truth. Think about it. This is a wonderful thing. He says, then to Capernaum, another city in Judea at that time, and you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades, or the grave. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, where the homosexuals originated, that's where we get the very word sodomites and so forth. He said, if these mighty works had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. In other words, those sodomites would have repented if they had understood real Christianity. But I say to you that it should be more tolerable. There's a time when they're going to understand and have an opportunity. More tolerable in the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Think about it. A time of judgment, a day of judgment, not a passing out of a sentence on blinded people who never understood, but a time when they will understand and be accountable for that knowledge. Turn now back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. There is a 7,000-year plan that God has when you understand it. We're near the end of 6,000 years of recorded human history. Many of the chronologists understand that. If you go by biblical chronology and actual history, I know people talk about in some paleontologists and archaeologists and others try to go back and say, well, man's been around hundreds of thousands of years. Not in his present form, he has not at all. Human history goes back 6,000 years and then it ends. That's the end of it. That's another story, but there is a 7,000-year plan of God. We're near the end of the first 6 days, the days that God is working with humanity, but the days he's actually letting them learn lessons through suffering under the influence of Satan the devil. Then there's going to be 1,000 years, a Sabbath, a millennial Sabbath, when Christ, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, will come in power and reign on this earth, and people will really understand in a way they do not understand today at all. They just do not. And so he says here that 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years in God's plan. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. They think, well, God's not intervening. It's never going to happen. He's way off, and nothing's ever going to change. Oh, no. But God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. Notice that. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. El Shaddai, God Almighty, wants all to come to repentance. Are they going to come to repentance? Well, back for the past 6,000 years, most of them never have. And right now, most of them never have. Get real. Again, folks, as I said at the beginning, take a plane, get on an airplane and land in Bombay, India. Land in Calcutta, see how many Christians are there. Land in China somewhere. Land in Japan, Indonesia, the great populous nations of the earth. And you'll find usually less than 1% of people are Christians. Practically no one is even a professing Christian, let alone a real Christian. They're blinded. They do not understand. And travel the United States and Canada and Britain, and most people do not understand real Christianity. They do not live real Christianity. Some darken the door of a church, but they don't understand the Bible. They don't read it. They couldn't explain it to save their life. Think about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want to begin in verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, that is, with Christ, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. The problem here is that the King James and some other translations have it that in the acceptable time and in the day of salvation I have helped you. And mainstream Protestantism thinks this is the only day of salvation for the billions of human beings on this earth. And that is not true, and it is based upon a false understanding of this and a very few other verses. This is the main one they use, otherwise they really can't explain it. There's no way they can explain it. I'm explaining it to you today, though. Notice, the correct translation is an acceptable time. Check it up. I have heard you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. It's a quote from Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 8. And you turn back and you'll see it's a day of salvation, not the day of salvation. He was talking about a day of salvation for physical Israel. That is, that they were going to be delivered physically. And certainly the same principle applies to us spiritually. And Paul is quoting it with that thought in mind. So when is the day of salvation for those blinded billions of human beings? When is their chance? Not a second chance, but a first genuine opportunity. Get that phrase. A first genuine opportunity to really know God and to know the Jesus Christ of the Bible. When is that opportunity going to come? Let's turn to Revelation now. Revelation 19. Here he talks about Jesus Christ coming again. Verse 11. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Verse 12. Verse 13, he is clothed with robe, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. He comes in with the armies of heaven. Verse 16, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 19, I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and the armies gathered together to make war against Christ. And, of course, he conquers them, and they're thrown in the lake of fire. Chapter 20 then picks up the story. An angel comes down, binds Satan for 1,000 years. Read it. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. And he says, then the saints who've endured, who've gone through persecution, lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Verse 4. Verse 5. Revelation 20, verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So some rest of the dead are going to live again. Who are these people? Well, down in after describing, of course, the 1,000-year period, Satan being let out of his bottomless pit and attacking even the nations and deceiving them again so quickly, and how quickly they're deceived when Satan is left out of that let out of that bottomless pit, it shows you how powerful Satan is. Then in verse 12, and I saw the dead, God says here through John, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. The dead standing? That's talking about a resurrection from the dead. The most awesome event in human history from one point of view. The dead people all over the earth coming alive. I saw them standing before God, and books were opened. And the word here is Biblos, meaning little books, which is usually used for the books of the Bible. This book is open to their understanding for the first time. For the first time, they understand the Bible and the purpose of life. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. They have the opportunity to have their name written in the book of life. And the dead, which were judged according to their works, but the things written in the books. But if they were judged by what they'd done way back in the previous life, they would be condemned because they never believed in Christ. They never developed Christ's character. They never had Christ living in them. They're going to have to stand for a period of time. And other scriptures in the Bible indicate that period of time will be about 100 years when they have an opportunity to live and to understand the purpose of human existence. And these people are going to be saved. The vast majority will act on the truth when they understand it. There is a great white throne judgment time coming when every human being will be given for the first time a genuine chance. How great and how merciful are God's true ways. How marvelous is His plan when we truly understand. Again, be sure to call or write immediately for our brand new eye-opening booklet, Is This the Only Day of Salvation? This booklet will give you the chance to study and to prove for yourself this tremendous truth out of your own Bible. And again, we will automatically send you a free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Same name as this program. It's a beautiful magazine. So call us now. Request your free copy, absolutely free, of this fascinating booklet. Is This the Only Day of Salvation?
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to tune in next week to Tomorrow's World television program. Richard Ames and I will be giving you powerful and insightful messages on biblical prophecy and on the real meaning of life. We will provide you with answers that, as you saw in the program today, you can obtain nowhere else. So tune in next week at this same time for Tomorrow's World. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That address again is Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. That address again is www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.